In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Would the leper have been cleansed if he did not pray? Would the centurion's servant have been healed if the centurion did not pray? We are not fatalists. God knows all things, and his will must be done. But these two things are also true. God takes into account our prayers, and he does not force his will upon anyone. He lets us choose godliness or sin. Now, we are speaking not about the will of those who have no faith before conversion, but we are speaking about the will of those who have faith after conversion. After conversion, the Christian can choose godliness or sin. The Spirit of God moves him toward godliness, but we can also resist his will. We can choose to skip our daily prayers. We can choose to be upset, resentful, lazy, angry. We can choose to lash out. We can choose to be irresponsible with our time, our possessions, our bodies. We can choose to stay away from his Holy Supper. We are not robots who live scripted lives. We are still beings personally responsible to God for our thoughts, our words, and our actions. So again, we are not speaking about the one who has no faith, but we are speaking about those who have faith, who have been made new through the waters of holy baptism, born again by water and the Spirit, and who confess that they desire the things of God. Whom have I in heaven but you, we sing with the psalmist. And earth has nothing I desire besides you. We desire God and to walk in his ways. And so, like the leper and like the centurion, we also desire to pray to God because we know how weak we are, and we know that God alone will be merciful to us for Jesus' sake. Prayer is not a cathartic exercise to make ourselves feel better. It may do that, but it may not. Prayer is worship. We are dependent on God for all things, that much is true. But that is not the chief reason why we pray. We pray chiefly because we believe that God will be gracious to us through Christ. He will not look at our sins or deny our prayers because of them. For Jesus has bled on the cross to take away our sins, to make a full, sure, and sufficient payment not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. So when the Father looks at us, he sees his beloved Son and the righteousness of Christ clothing us. So no sin can render your prayer null and void. No sin, no matter how great or grievous it may have been, can hinder your prayers, because the blood of Christ is greater than your sins. Because of Jesus, you are now worthy to fold your hands and bow your heads. The prayer of a righteous man has great power, Scripture says. Righteous through faith. Whether young or old, infant or an elderly, righteous through faith. Baptized into the righteousness of Christ himself, faith now cries out to God in prayer. So the leper, in faith, approaches his God and Lord. He prays according to his will, but not as a demanding Lord, do this or else. But he prays as a humble servant. If you are willing, you can make me clean. And what happened? Jesus was willing, and the man was cleansed. Jesus was not walking around looking for this man. Jesus was not fated to meet this man. But this man, who has faith already, this leper, comes to Jesus in faith. And Jesus heals him because he asked. He almost bends his own will to meet the man's will. He heals him because the leper prayed. The same thing is true with the centurion. Again, we are not talking about those who have no faith, but we are talking about those who have faith, and go to Christ in prayer. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, Scripture says, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Asking according to His will is not trying to figure out what the mind of God holds. It's not us trying to read God's mind so we can ask just the right thing and have it answered. For the will of God is not difficult to know. It is clearly revealed to you in the Scriptures. There He reveals what He wills not only for you but for all people in quite clear and simple language. He wants all to be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Whether Jew or Gentile, Asian or American, or any other nationality or ethnicity you can find, God wants all to be saved through faith in Jesus. So everything else is for that purpose. Whether rich or poor, healthy or sick, young or old, married or single, all is given so that you might believe in Jesus and be saved. God has eternity in mind. The leper and the centurion both have faith to believe that. And Christ says about the centurion, He has not found such a great faith in all of Israel, not even in that leper He just healed. He comes in faith, trusting in the goodness and mercy of God. So ask God whatever is on your mind. Give thanks to Him for the gifts that He has given. Make your prayers and requests known to God. Yes, even lament to Him. A lamentation is simply to complain. Complain to God about society, about your troubles, your weaknesses, your difficulties, your finances, or the immorality that you see so prevalent. Do not hide your will to God. You can't. He sees it anyways. But pray to Him with whatever is on your heart and mind. Do you want healing? Ask for it. Do you want a long and prosperous life? Ask for it. Do you want financial stability? Pray to God for it. His ears are attentive. Present your requests to God. Present your will and your desires to God, not as a demanding Lord, do this or else I won't follow you, but as a humble servant. Lord, if you are willing, you can grant my request. Prayer is one of the appointed means by God Himself. How does God nourish and sustain your body? Through food. And yet you recognize that that is from God Himself, though you yourselves are the ones who prepare that food and make good and wise decisions. The same thing is true of prayer. Through prayer, God blesses you. God takes into account the words that you say, and to our view, may even bend His own will to meet our needs and our request. He takes our prayers into account, so ask, pray. It's the appointed means to call on your Father and to ask Him for whatever is on your heart. As a leper did not pray, knowing whether Christ would grant him his request or not, so we do not know if all the details we have asked will actually be seen. But still we ask. God knows what will happen, but His knowledge doesn't force us in one direction or another. Remember, we're not living scripted lives. Much is contingent upon our choices that we make. And also the choices whether to pray or not. God knows what will come. He knows whether we will attend church next week or not. That doesn't mean if we skip, it was according to His will. God does not want us to stay away from His word. Man can fight against His will. So we learn God's will not by looking at our experiences and trying to infer this or that must be the will of God or the direction He is leading me, but we learn His will by learning the Scriptures, for there we have the clear and certain Word of God, which cannot lead us astray. There we learn that He is our merciful Father, and that He wants us to live, not to die, to enjoy life, not to be sad, to flourish, not to struggle, to be healthy, not sick. And yet there we also learn that he is a God who uses sickness and struggles and adversities and even death for our good. He pities us in our distress, and he yearns that we cry out to him from faith. So cry out to your Lord and Father. The more you meditate on his word, the more you meditate on his will, which is his word, the more your prayers are conformed to God's will. And the more that you begin to see every blessing flowing from the cross of Christ, and the more you begin to see then that every answer will be in your heavenly ascent. The more you meditate on the word of God, the more you learn his will in that word, the more you pray for Jesus to stir up his power and come and rescue you by his great might. And then the more that you see he does just that as he comes to you in the Holy Supper to feed you his body and blood, to do the very thing that you have asked. You want health, strength, riches, immortality? He gives you all that and more in this feast. So of all the little changes that have been made in this congregation over 50 years, there is none greater than the weekly celebration of this feast. God has heard your prayers, and he has answered. And maybe he will give you a long and prosperous life on this earth as well, or maybe a life of hardship and discomfort. His will be done. This does not negate your responsibility to pray. In fact, quite the opposite. It sets you free to pray. Remember, we pray because we recognize God takes into account our prayers, and we know he is a gracious Father to us who wants to bless us. So we pray for great things and for small things. We pray for miracles and for everyday occurrences, such as, give us this day our daily bread. We pray not to make ourselves feel better or to try to change the mind of God, but because we believe that he is good and gracious to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so maybe you are healed. Maybe not. Maybe this weakness glorifies God in some unknown way. Maybe Satan is frustrated that you just won't curse God and die. Maybe your humble patience is a testimony to those around you that you have a far greater hope in the life and death of Christ. Maybe it's to provide an opportunity for others to love you, to care for you, and to support you. Maybe it's for some other reason. Maybe it's all of the above or none. But what we are certain and sure of is this: his grace is sufficient for us. We have that word. So we pray boldly for all things. We confident that he will hear and he will answer us according to his will. For the word has become our prayer book. The very scriptures are the words that we repeat back to God as we regurgitate the very promises that he has made to us back to him. Certain that whatever we ask according to that word, according to his will, he will hear us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.